Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast with Pastor Stephen right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. And as always, man, how are you?
I'm good. I just spilt water on my pants, though. So I don't know if that's going to show up on camera. If it does, it's water. I just spilt it there. And out of all the things that I could have done.
We've been sitting here for 45 minutes, and you just spilled it right before we started?
Well, because I've been talking. I haven't had a drink, so...
There you go.
There we go. Nothing humbling.
It's glaring.
Is it glaring, Journey?
Yeah. And I'm going to edit out that first part so that they just see the stain.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. We were just talking, though. It's kind of scary what they can do with AI today. So
no kidding.
It's very scary. Anyway.
Yeah.
If I would just say if somebody... Somebody sees video of one of us saying something or doing something that seems out of character, give us the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, it used to be folks would say, well, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it or hear it or unless I see video. You can't say that.
No.
You can't say that anymore. And I know some folks that are like, well, even if I see video, I'm not going to believe it. Well, those were back in the days that you couldn't doctor it.
Yeah.
But, buddy, now you can do anything in the world, so it is a... It's a very scary situation.
Scary place.
It is. And, you know, I'm just thankful that even though I believe Scripture teaches it's not going to get better.
Yeah.
It's going to continue to get worse as far as evil and the influence of evil and immorality and all those things. I'm thankful that one day we know Jesus is finally going to go ahead and say, all right, enough's enough.
Yeah.
Let me go get my bride and...
Yeah,
and then it'll kind of start the whole timeline of end times.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for that. That's where our hope lies.
Well, you always talk about, you know, at the end of the day, you're just going to talk about Jesus, right? And I know we were talking earlier. We were telling Journey that, you know, even in staff meeting with, you know, paid Christians. No, I'm just kidding. Like, even a staff meeting, like, where, you know, you got...
I'd say it's important if you're on church staff to at least be a Christian.
That's right. You know, where there's ministers of the gospel and people who have, you know, are professed believers publicly and trying to live their life that way. Like, you even talk about Jesus in staff meeting. So, it's like, let's just keep talking about Jesus. Let's keep talking about the truth of Scripture.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, that's all that matters. I mean, I know there have been a lot of things and events that have happened recently that we've all seen and been a part of, and you know, kind of even been following, the murder of Charlie Kirk and what a terrible thing that took place there. I barely knew who he was.
Yeah,
and the only reason I knew who he was is my 17-year-old. He kind of tracks that way, and so he has been very familiar with him and shared just a few things. And now since last week, I've seen a lot more things, and I just thought he was a conservative, conservative think tank or something like that, and spent time on college campuses. But when you really start digging in, I mean, my goodness, very outspoken about his faith and his love for Jesus. And and so you always find yourself in a situation as a pastor. What is it that drives what we talk about? And I can sit there and let me focus on society and all the things that have been disappointing. And I would agree with everyone that's like, how disappointing is that?
Yeah.
You know, one of the few biblical-minded spokespersons that go on college campuses, and you know, a lot of folks have said he made a big difference there.
Yeah.
How tragic that is that he won't be there anymore, being able to get these young people really challenging stuff that they just kind of believe without even giving thought to. And I think he'd be the first at the end of the day, though, that would probably say. And again, I'm taking some liberty here. I don't have a relationship with the guy, but just looking at posts and everything else, I think he would say, "Man, preach the gospel.
Yeah,
let's talk about Jesus." And so, one of the struggles that you have is how much do you talk about what is happening in society today, and or are we just gonna kind of stay on the Bible and let the Bible walk its way through? And ultimately, at the end of the day, my number one, I believe my number one calling is to very clearly make sure you understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. My prayer before I walk out to preach any sermon is, Lord, I pray that we, myself included, that we will fall more in love with you today.
Yeah.
And so, you know, sometimes folks that get really, you know, maybe something weighs really heavy on them, or they've been immersed in it, they have a hard time understanding that.
Yeah.
You know, why does the pastor not speak about this tragic event that took place today? You know, I was looking just recently, we were talking about it, and World Vision tells us that there are 13 Christians martyred for their faith every day.
Yeah.
Every day. And so I'm just thankful that, you know, Charlie Kirk, as well as the rest of us, have been created for more than just this world.
Yeah.
And ultimately, when it's all said and done, even though I'm very opinionated, you'll be hard pressed to find anyone as conservative as I am. I'm very non-apologetic when it comes to how I vote, and you know, I've even gotten in trouble before by telling people I think you should vote this way.
Yeah.
But ultimately, when it's all said and done, you know, what is the greatest thing that somebody could say about me? The way I see it is, man, all that guy wanted to do is talk about Jesus Christ. Yeah. I consider that a win.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying these other things are not important.
Right, right, right.
I'm just saying, boy, if we can get calibrated where we need to be with Jesus,
wow,
then, man, our eyes will be focused.
Yeah.
And we find our hope in the fact that no matter what may take place in this world today or next week, that will be disappointing. And I can promise you there will be things that happen that will be extremely disappointing.
Yeah.
It's not going to change the fact Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
And my hope and trust rest in him. And the future is phenomenal.
Yeah.
For those that
that
are his children. So, we do. We find ourselves in an interesting situation all the time. All the time. And especially when, you know, now that you have networks that are just designed for 24/7 news. And
I even heard one of these guys, you know, and I'm not a big news guy. I'm not a big political guy. I've never claimed to be one. But, you know, I heard one of these guys talk about, you know, how social media is destroying society, like how social media is so destructive. And, you know, this guy was even like, hey, get off of social media. Like, let's.
Well, I know that's something that you did quite a while ago.
A long time ago,
And it's
been freeing, absolutely freeing.
Well, it's something that I did like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a good friend of mine, and he was like, hey, man, I sent you something on Messenger, and you haven't. And I said, yeah, man, I shut all that off. And I said, when I did mine, Jennifer said, well, do mine too. And
yeah.
Because you would, you know, it's amazing how, what do they call them? Keyboard warriors.
Yeah.
Folks will, they'll want to post stuff or say stuff. And even folks who proclaim to be Christ followers, but they don't handle it the way biblically that we should, that we should handle those things as far as setting it down and talking to individuals. And so it would end up being frustrating. My natural reaction would be, well, I want to set them straight. Let me give them the truth.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, no. What you're going to do is you're going to open up a door that is going to track far longer than you want it to, and it's probably going to go places that it doesn't need to go. And at the end of the day, is the body of Christ being glorified there and being edified there? So, no, I'm with you. You know, social media. But I told the guy, I said, honestly, I got off of it, and I said, you know what I've found? I'm reading my Bible more.
That's amazing.
I really am.
It's amazing how that works.
Spending more time having family conversations. And I would just challenge all of our listeners, on all of those that are watching, and this is a challenge that I make to myself and even those of us that are in this room. If if you spend more time a day watching the news or on social media than you do in the eternal word of God,
yeah,
man, I say this lovingly, your focus is messed up.
Yeah.
Your focus is messed up.
Yeah.
And the devil knows, man. For most of us, it's not, he's not going to tempt us with good and bad.
Yeah.
Because most of us won't take that journey to bad. But what he does is, no, I'm going to get him to take good instead of best.
Yeah.
And best, immerse yourself in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Immerse yourself in the Word of God. And I would say this, if you find yourself at a church, and there's so many good churches that God is working through around the world.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, just a couple of months ago, man, I was preaching to 2,000 folks underneath a tent that were part of a church in Kenya.
Yeah.
But if you find yourself in a church and you walk away and you're like, boy, I heard a lot. I heard a lot about society. I heard a lot about, you know, current events. But I never heard a word about Jesus.
Yeah.
Man, I'm not going to be a part of that church.
Yeah.
I do. You know, I pray that we just keep our focus.
Yeah.
Tragic, absolutely. Oh God, may you continue to use men and women.
Yeah.
To make much of you, Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what I appreciate. About a Charlie Kirk more than any kind of conservative stand or what political party he was a part of, more than any of those things, is he would use opportunities to say, hey, the most important thing that ever happened in my life is Jesus saving me. Man, let that be what is on our lips.
Mm.
And may it be something that we live so much that is a natural last words.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've sidetracked Daniel. Well, no, just
it fits right in because you know, as we're in Daniel, and if you were to pull your manuscript from, you know, this Sunday, there's a lot of historical things, a lot of symbolism, a lot of, you know, Daniel has another dream, right? We've been talking about a lot of Daniel's dreams, but one of the things that you open up your sermon with is you're like, you know, hey. These dreams, these visions, these things that are in Scripture that are being said, it's proof that the Word of God is reliable and accurate. And yeah, we can even go to Old Testament and just see how, you know, prophecy was fulfilled, and there's assurance that because prophecy was fulfilled, that God's still working, and the promises that God made that haven't been fulfilled yet will be fulfilled.
Yeah, so much of what we see in Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 8, a good majority of it's history.
Yeah.
It's already taken place.
Yeah.
You know, Daniel wrote about it 300 plus years before it ever took place, and not all of it has been fulfilled yet.
Right.
In just a few weeks, we'll get into the 77s, and that'll just make things even more interesting. But over and over again throughout the book of Daniel, if there's anything, you know, if someone were to come to me and say, what's the theme? And I themed, you know, I titled this series, The Coming Kingdom of Christ.
Yeah.
Really, you could, any book of the Bible you preach on, you could call it The Coming Kingdom of Christ.
Yeah.
But the overarching theme is, hey, listen, man, it's going to happen exactly the way that God has said it's going to take place.
Yeah.
We can look at history, and it is proven. And so what he says is going to come to pass in the future is going to come to pass. And so I can trust him, and I'm going to lean on him, and I find my hope in him. I do like the fact that it kind of humanizes Daniel just a little bit, because I think a lot of times we sit here and we're like, dude, this guy— He made it out of a lion's den. Yeah. This is unbelievable. They plucked him out of his country and put him in a foreign land, and he still refused to go against what was important to him as far as the dietary laws of the Jews. But yet in this, in Daniel chapter 8, he's like, I had this vision, and I fainted.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was sick for days. And I read that, and I'm like, well, thank goodness. I didn't have this vision, but just reading it, I'm like, I feel like I'm going to faint.
Yeah.
And so it does. It shows the human side of Daniel, and then Daniel kind of, it kind of draws it back in, and he's like, yeah, but, man, I had work to do.
Yeah.
So I got up, and I got about the king's business.
Yeah.
You look at the things happening in this world, it's so easy to become disillusioned and to allow all the disappointments and the immorality to even to get us to the point to where I think a lot of times, even though we know better, a lot of times it's tempting for Christians to look around and say, the devil's winning.
Yeah.
The devil's winning.
Yeah.
Hear me. It's not even close.
Yeah.
In Little League, we used to have, it was called the skunk rule. I think if you got up 12-1 or something, they would call the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the older you got, I mean, you helped me. We coached some teams, and, you know, we would even sit there and tell our boys, you can only go one base at a time. We had some good ball teams, and we were beating people like 30-3, and you're only letting them run one base at a time. And,
bad opposite handed.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and, man, the skunk rule, that's what it's – I know it looks as though it's this battle. You know, we're talking 12th round. We're talking bottom of the ninth, right? We're talking overtime in football. And it's, oh, my goodness. Look, we got to pray for Jesus. Pray for Jesus, man. Because the devil may just win. No, it's done.
Yeah, yeah.
The devil knows.
Yeah.
He knows what awaits him.
Yeah.
And so I would just say, do not become disillusioned by the disappointments of this world. But instead say, Lord, I trust that this is not thwarted. Is that a word, thwarted?
Sounds like
a good word.
That's a 50 cent word.
I'm going, this did not thwart your plans one single bit. You are still God and you're still on the throne. And we still trust what you say in your word.
All right. So I'm gonna jump to the end of your sermon.
Sure. Go wherever you want to go.
Because, I mean.
You're the host, right?
That's right. Yeah. Did you hear that, Journey? Yeah, write that down.
Well, Journey's the producer, which means this. He can take your words and make them say anything he wants to.
He can mute me anytime he wants to.
AI.
That's right. So you talk about these interpretations, right? And, you know, there is this lopsided ram. There's a single horned goat, which is the Greek Empire and Alexander the Great. And we'll talk about Alexander the Great in just a second. You know, the four horns, which is the generals who divided Alexander's territory. Then you talk about the little horn, which is Antiochus. Is that right?
Antiochus.
That's what I said.
That's all right. It's all good.
Epiphanes.
Yeah. Epiphanes. Yep.
Yeah. But that is kind of symbolic of the Antichrist. We talked a little bit about the Antichrist last week.
And we even had a listener that reached out to us and helped us. Yes. And told us he knew exactly who the Antichrist was and quoted from the Apocrypha and, you know, very thought-provoking. And, you know, man, I'm thankful for that feedback. I don't even know where we would be today if we didn't know that, you know, who he says the Antichrist is and alive and well today.
Yeah.
So we've archived that.
Yeah.
And when the day and time comes and
we'll pull that back out.
We'll pull that back out and we'll reach back out and just say, yeah, man, yeah, you were wrong. You were wrong. I know Erastus said this, but yeah, there's a reason why it's not canonized, brother.
Yeah. I'm gonna just keep on moving on these points, man. That's why we love you, Pastor Stephen. Not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed of truth. You know, you made me lose my train of thought. At the end of your sermon, all right, you talk about a little bit about there's some demonstrations from Daniel's vision that we can see for ourselves. Because you even said it, like you're a practical guy. You love the application.
Yeah.
It's something for us to take home.
Sure.
And yeah, you look at all these things in scripture and yeah, some of the history is overwhelming. Sometimes, man, I understand all of the history of why things happen. But, you know, you talk about Alexander, how he conquered all these nations. But you kind of bring it home by saying, you know, even though Alexander was having Alexander the Great was conquering his nations, he still had things that he dealt with. He still had things that he couldn't overcome. Just like we can't overcome
sure
sin in our life. the only way that we can overcome some of the things in our life is through Jesus and Him alone. And then you kind of close it out going, all right, Daniel, you mentioned it earlier. He faints, right? He has this moment where he faints. But what does he do? He gets back up and starts working the king's business. And so I want to kind of end on that. Like, what is for us today? Like, we look at Daniel, it's an Old Testament book. But for us today, what is the king's business? Like, what?
Yeah, well, and to put it in the proper context, you know, Daniel was talking about, you know, he worked for the earthly king.
Right.
And so, I mean, basically, he you know, he just comes to the point where he's like, look, man, I've already called in a few days. You know, yeah. I can't just lay here forever.
Right.
I got to get up. I got work that's got to be done, man. I work for the king. And, you know, the point that I was trying to make is, I mean, we work for the King of Kings.
Yeah.
We work for the eternal king. And so, there are folks that will get so bogged down in prophecy. I think I shared with you before, man, I've seen these guys, and please hear me, nothing wrong with, you know, they've charted out all this, and, you know, this is how I think it's going to happen, and spend great deals of time trying to study the scripture, and, you know, I pull this word from here, and I'm going to really look at every time this word is mentioned all throughout the Bible, and a lot of times it's almost this. And I don't know if I can say this across the board, but a lot of times there's almost this pursuit of I'm going to decipher and I'm going to come up with something that nobody else has come up with, even though the most brilliant minds theologically in the history of the world have not come up with this and would not be considered to be orthodox, but yet they have been able to, you know, they have found one little shell and they uncovered it and all of a sudden, boom, there it is. But that's another day and another time, right? But even the most well-meaning person can get so caught up in what we would call doctrine that it has no effect on them in the way that they live or in their pursuit. I would just say this. If we really genuinely believe the Bible to be true, if we believe what Daniel has prophesied, and why wouldn't we?
Right.
I mean, everything else he said, God's done. If we really believe that, then it would be the equivalent of I'm standing. You know, when I go home today, there's a certain bridge that I have to drive across. Well, there's two bridges. I can go one way or another way, but there's one bridge I'll normally go. And my kids, when they were growing up, and we would cross that bridge, they would always point and they would say, on this side are alligators, and on this side are sharks, because one side's salt, and one side's fresh water. And let's just say that I get down there, and my goodness, the bridge is gone, right? It sits on top of a dam. The dam, it blew up. Who knows, right? And I just say, you probably don't want to be driving down through there 45, 50 miles an hour, right. And all of a sudden you come up on it, and boom, there you go. Well, if I have love for fellow man, what am I going to do? I'm not going to say, well, I'll pull over here at the state park, you know, and I'll just kind of hang out here and, you know, or I'm going to turn around and go the opposite way over the bridge that I know. No. I'm going to stop, and I'm probably going to pull my truck in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stand there, and I'm going to say, oh, no, turn around, man.
Yeah.
Danger's that way. Danger. Hey, there's another way, though. Mm. Okay, go the other way.
Yeah.
The other way, I guarantee you, you'll get home safely.
Yeah.
Go the other way, but you can't go this way. And what if they sit there and say, but no, my house is just right there.
Yeah.
It's just right there. You know, it's not that far. I can see it from here. I know you can see it from here, but trust me, I've been there.
Yeah.
You can't safely get there.
Yeah.
There's only one way. Go the other way. I mean, that's the equivalent of the king's work that we're to do. Man, I know the Bible has made it very clear.
Yeah.
There's only one way to safely make it home. And when I say the word home, I mean, the Bible says that those, you know, that we are created to where this world is not our home. And for those that are in Christ, it says that right? We're aliens, we're pilgrims, we're sojourners. You know, no matter how hard we try to make this world our home, it will never feel like our home. We'll not be able to identify with it because of all the things that is happening in this world as a result of sin. Some of the things that we talked about today, a direct result of sin.
Yeah.
A sinner.
Yeah.
Choosing to take someone else's life.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what political party that you're a part of, no matter how you feel when it comes to social events, I mean, we don't have to sit there and guess. Is murder wrong? I mean, no, I think the Bible makes that very clear, right?
Right.
So we have a sinner that has decided upon their own, I'm going to take, that is wrong, that is immoral, that is evil in every sense of the term. But so are other things in this world.
Yeah.
And we're never going to identify with that. And there's one way to make it home. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So the more I start understanding prophecy, the more it doesn't cause me to, okay, I'm now going to start living in the basement and I'm going to, every waking hour, I'm going to spend making these charts. Right. And, you know, I really desperately need to get out in the sun because I'm pale white because I've just been living in the basement forever, studying all my charts and writing all these things. Well, no. Get up and go out. Because somebody's heading down that road.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to be the one that says, whoa, 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 no. No, you can't go down this road. Go the other way.
Yeah.
Then who's going to do it?
Yeah. I want to read something from your manuscript, from your sermon. And it says, every time God reveals a little more of his plan to you, you are under the obligation to get up and to go out and do his work. You ought to have an increased sense of urgency and fervency about telling your friends about Jesus. Why? Because Jesus could come today. Mm. And, you know, again, the king's business is to tell the lost and dying world the only hope they have is Jesus.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think in light of stuff that's going on, right, Jesus is the only hope. We look at Daniel. Daniel faced all sorts of suffering. He faced all sorts of people coming against him. His only hope was Jesus. And I don't know. I just think it's a great moment just to sit back and go, all right, the beginning of the sermon, beginning of it all, we can see that scripture is true. It's reliable. And then at the end of it, we sit back and go, man, the reliable thing in our life is Jesus and him alone.
Well, and it doesn't, I don't want people to misunderstand. I'm not saying that we bury our heads in the sand like an ostrich and say, okay, I'm not going to pay attention to what's happening in the world. I'm just going to live in my own little utopia that I've created, which I would just say this, there is no such thing as a utopia on the earth because the earth is broken. It's sin, right? It doesn't mean that, but what it says is this. I'm not going to allow what is taking place in this old sinful world to rob me of the joy that I have in Christ, because no matter how bad it gets, the gospel is still the same. Mm. And even the most hardened, wicked heart, if they'll call upon the name of Jesus and surrender their life to him, he'll save them and radically change them. Don't believe me? There's a guy that was named Saul that we know as Paul.
And that's why we love you as Pastor Stephen, man. You always point us to the truth of Scripture and always point us to Jesus. Man, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening right here on the Unchangeable Truth Podcast.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.